Happy holidays, everyone. And welcome to celebrations that'll be kind of different.
My stepfather recently turned 80. Pre-COVID, we had thought we were going to do an in-person gathering with multiple adult families, and then couldn't.
It's to the best of our knowledge. I'm Anne Strainchamps, and this is Priya Parker.
What we ended up doing was 9 a.m. We all simultaneously turned on our FaceTime or Zoom, and we baked ginger snap cookies together. We chose a simple recipe that he loved. He loves ginger, that the 2-year-old and the 16-year-old would enjoy eating afterwards. And we rolled together. We put in the sugar together. We spilled the sugar on the floor together. We swept it up together, all in our own homes. And there was enough. It was an hour. And then in the evening, the adults without the children had a Zoom dinner together, but kind of had a progressive. So with one adult family, they had their first bread and glass of wine. And then we then had our slot and we joined them at that time. And then the third part of the meal, a different adult child with her family joined and they had a nice conversation. And then we all joined back to sing. Sing happy birthday.
Like all our rituals this year, birthdays, graduations, funerals, this holiday season will be different. Keeping everybody safe will mean sacrificing a few things, like the annual cookie swap, the carol sing, the neighborhood Hanukkah party. We'll wear those ugly Christmas sweaters at home this year and visit Santa Claus on Zoom. So we're just going to have to get creative. I mean, this could be one of the most meaningful holidays ever. Priya Parker is the author of The Art of Gathering and host of the New York Times podcast Together Apart. When we started working on this show about rethinking the holidays, she was the first person we wanted to hear from. Shannon Henry Kleiber caught up with Priya Parker at her home in New York.
Priya, the last time we talked, it was all about how to gather in person in more meaningful ways. And now the world has shifted. We can't see relatives. We can't go to church. Our kids aren't in school. Everything is upended. And we're heading towards this holiday season. What's it going to be like?
The world, as you say, has shifted pretty radically. And so a huge part of our opportunity, I believe, these holidays is to pause and to ask, what is it that this group of people, my people, however you define that question, need this year for this Christmas, for this Thanksgiving, for this Hanukkah? And because we have this little thing called the internet, or most of us do, there are actually radical ways to reimagine how we still come together and have community.
I like that so much because some people are saying they're just going to skip Christmas this year or some other holiday, and that makes me incredibly sad. I don't want to skip the holidays. So how can we rethink them?
I mean, the first thing I'd say is we tend to come to our holidays with this kind of assumption and veneer, even pre-COVID, that the holidays are a happy, wonderful time.
Right.
And that's always come with a big asterisk. The holidays can be a really beautiful time, and it can also be a complicated time. So we've always had to figure out how we want to be together.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing is to think about what is your need as an individual? Is it to feel safe? Is it to feel connected? Is it, given the chaos and the disruption of the year, to come hell or high water, do the same thing you've done every year with the same people, just maybe virtually. Mm-hmm. And then who is the inner circle that you may want to be with or that you are committed to or who you are responsible for? And then what does that small group need? And then, you know, it's like building blocks. And then to go to the larger system, whether it's the larger family or groups of friends, and say, hey, this is what we're going to do this year. Either, you know, we love you and we'll see you next year, or would you like to join? And then to think about how could you, whether it's physically in person or outside or online, what are the rituals that you want to invent this year? Mm-hmm. This might be a year to say, let's just center joy. And we won't spend 3 days together because we can't. So how might we, over 2 hours, do something together that may not actually involve conversation? Maybe it's sync watching a favorite joyful movie together. Maybe it's singing together, everyone on mute. I mean, I know families who are doing all types of activities together because after a while, you kind of run out of conversation. And maybe the way to actually be together is to live stream your kitchen starting at 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. What if this year, actually the preparation you do together and you eat apart?
Those kinds of things are what I'm thinking about with my family. I know we'll make some of the same traditional dishes and maybe watch the same traditional movies, but there are other things we won't be able to do, go to live performances like the Nutcracker that we usually do. But I'm thinking, you know, maybe we can go on a snowshoe hike or something like that.
Absolutely. And I love the example of, okay, if we can't see the Nutcracker this year for a lot of different reasons, here's the sequence of questions to ask yourself. Well, why do we go to the Nutcracker? What do you love about it? Is it the wonder that it brings? Is it the respect for these dancers' bodies? Is it the power of story? Is it the festive nature? And really begin to actually unfurl with your family. Why is it that we love this thing? You know, I'll give a simple example. I live sort of near a very cold lake, and it's getting colder and colder and colder. And for my birthday this year, I also wanted much of maybe what you want out of the Nutcracker, but a sense of doing something courageous with the people that I love in a safe way. And for me, I'm kind of zoomed out.
Yeah.
I invited a few friends to jump in a very cold lake, and we did a polar bear swim.
Oh, that's great.
It's not rocket science, but it does take thought. And again, it's like, what is it that you need or want this year? Is it a sense of protection? Is it a sense of courage? Is it a sense of possibility? Is it a sense of grace? Is it a sense of repair? Is it a sense of mourning loss?
I think what you bring up about religion is really interesting because we have to come up with new ways of being spiritual now too, because we can't always gather in synagogues and churches and physical spaces. So how are we spiritual? And how can we challenge ourselves to be spiritual in a different way?
I think some of the most interesting conversations happening about reimagining gathering are happening within churches, particularly with ministers, men and women, who are asking, how do we do this now? All of the ways, at least currently in a virus environment, are super spreader activities, right? Singing collectively, passing a bowl around, shaking hands. And they're also, ironically, part of the social glue of communities, right? The physical touch. And so I think some of the most powerful questions at the center of every institution, Harvard University, for the first time collectively and systematically, allowed dissertation students to defend their theses, their PhDs, over Zoom. I have a podcast with the New York Times called Together Apart. And one of the episodes, we follow this poet and writer named Clint Smith. He did his dissertation defense this spring at his kitchen table with the proctors or judges on all of their kitchen tables around wherever they were on the East Coast. And then his grandfather in his 90s in New Orleans, sipping from a plastic blue Solo cup, was watching his grandson defend his thesis along with 150 other of his friends and family on muted Zoom. Right? What does it do when a community can not just celebrate and toast you outside, but come into the corridors of academia? The core way that we are coming together is being interrupted. And so we all need to pay attention to see, Maybe some of this is working better. Maybe this is becoming more democratic, or maybe this is totally chaotic, but it is a moment of radical questioning.
I do know so many people have lost loved ones this year and also have not had the collective grieving, and the holidays are going to be harder in some ways because of that. What do you think people can do to say goodbye over the holidays and maybe even in a community setting?
Yeah, I think this is such an important question. I think that one of the things we need so much more of is opportunities to collectively grieve, to publicly grieve. You know, in many countries, I'm half Indian, and in many countries, including in India and Nigeria and Pakistan, there's a public norm for grief. Funerals are processions, and not just for heads of state, for anybody. And in the US, so much of grief has become privatized, has become non-imposing. And I think both because of COVID and then with the racial uprisings, with our elections, our civic fabric has been torn. Mm-hmm. And I think just philosophically, whether you are a neighbor or whether you are part of a church or a temple or whether you are part of a local library, to one, just think about creative ways, and that doesn't always have to be verbal, to come together and have a lighting ceremony for all we've lost this year, and everybody bring a candle and you walk. And this is just one experiment, but these two women who are based out of New York City, one is Lily Baldwin and the other is Janet Wong, they came together kind of out of the same question that you're asking, which is how do we set up experiments for communities to remember and to experience loss? And Lily creates these experiences on Zoom that you can sign up for. They have an Instagram account and everything. But some of the questions to remember the specificity of the person that you lost, I'll just read some of them. Describe their version of a bad hair day. Describe their silhouette. What was the quality of light when you first met? What were you wearing the last time you saw them? And what did you do right after that moment? What did they forget when they just didn't care? And what did they do that nobody else did?
Those are beautiful.
Aren't they beautiful? They make me like weepy.
Right. And do you think some people also want to say goodbye to this time?
Absolutely. And I think to go to New Year's, I think there's a power and to think about ways that you can create a small ritual either alone, I mean, by yourself or with others to say goodbye to 2020. I could see, for example, when this vaccine finally comes, creating powerful rituals of getting a vaccine. Like for you, Cohen, I mean, this is also an opportunity for doctors and hospitals and neighborhood groups. Can you imagine like going in, coming out and everyone clapping or everyone cheering or coming out and having a collective hug? Right? I think there's like deep power in like leaving the before state and coming into the after state. Getting this vaccine isn't just, I mean, if it works, it's not just getting a shot in your arm, it's leaving an isolated state and rejoining a together state. So then what are the rituals that we can create? Simple, simple civic rituals. The same way during COVID, we began to see in certain neighborhoods in New York City and around the world in Italy, people at 6 p.m., 7 p.m. coming out and clapping for our first responders. That's a civic ritual. So part of this is we need family and community rituals, but I think we have a dearth of collective civic fabric mending rituals.
It's so interesting to hear how you think about, look at your tradition and what do you love about it? What would you miss about it? And then how to make that into something else in this day.
Every tradition that people adore comes from some moment in time. Passover hit maybe 3 weeks, a month after COVID. And as I was speaking with Jewish leaders during that moment, one of them, Amichai Lau Lavi, pointed out to me that Passover was a radical invention when 2,000 years ago, the Romans destroyed a temple and the Jews couldn't physically gather in the way they used to gather because there was literally no temple, right? You invent based on the need in front of you. And then if it continues to be a need for other people after you, they will either take it on or then change what you invented to suit them.
That was writer Priya Parker talking with Shannon Henry Kleiber. Priya hosts the Together Apart podcast, and she's the author of The Art of Gathering.